Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. I want to share a little bit from insights from my own life, plus a prophetic word that I'm carrying for the body of Christ that you will be blessed by. You know, we live in an hour when there's a lot of darkness that's covering the earth and gross darkness of peoples, where governments and economic systems are shaking. And yet it says that we are of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That is what the Bible tells us, and that is the truth. As soon as you come into Christ, you belong to a kingdom that is not of this world. And you can start living in that system. You can start living in kingdom economy, under kingdom government, kingdom ways. Even though we're in the world, the scripture says that we are not of the world. Now, I remember years ago when my husband and I first started walking in faith for provision, because we'd stepped out of our secular jobs and went into full-time ministry where we were living with no visible means of support. It was a faith journey. In fact, the Lord had told us not to tell anyone of our needs and not to go to any government institution for help or support, but just to trust Him totally and only go to Him with our needs. And so we thought that was going to be a great adventure, excepting in the next 5 years, oh my goodness, we were tested with every test possible in the area of provision. In fact, I think that we got harassed by every spirit of lack and poverty that, you know, if there was any in the entire universe, they all came against us. That's what it felt like. And maybe there's some of you that are feeling that way right now. But you know, there's hope for you, because as you stand on the Word of God, and that's what we did, we studied the Word from Genesis through to Revelation, and we discovered that God's promises are true, and they were so consistent all the way through. There was never anything that said that our God wouldn't provide for us and He'd leave us destitute and that we'd be out begging for bread. Never did it say that. In fact, it was the exact opposite, saying that He came to give us an abundant life, that all of our needs would be met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and that He cared about our food, our clothing, our shelter, about everything that pertained to us. We read about the promises that said that He provided everything that pertained to life and to godliness. So we determined to stay on the promises of God and to stand on those promises and not to waver, even though in the natural things were being shaken. We determined that we were going to walk with our God and live by the principles of this Word. Now, we had a 5-year journey in learning how to live this life by faith, not according to any visible support, but the invisible realm of the kingdom. So it was kind of a shift, you know, when you go from the mindset of living according to the world system, and then you have to shift into the kingdom system. It's different. But we have two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. There's the kingdoms of this world and the kingdoms of our God. Which kingdom are we going to live in? God is inviting us to live in a kingdom whose government and whose economic system is so sound that even though everything else might shake around us, we will not be shaken. It says in the Word that we are of a kingdom which cannot be shaken. So even though we are in very difficult economic times right now, and government shakings and political shakings worldwide, we can live in a secure place, a place of light. We can live in a place where the blessings of God abound. But we have to learn that even though we're in the world, we're not of the world, and we must learn to live kingdom. And so the Lord's given me some insights. I've got this one CD. It's called Kingdom Economy. And I love this CD. It's just a single CD teaching, but it gives the principles for living kingdom. The principles that I've learned over the years, so I'm going to unpack a few of them to you right now, but I can't do enough in this one setting. But I just encourage you to read your Bible and get a hold of the principles, because they're yes and amen to you, and they work, and they'll bring forth fruitfulness, and you will multiply in it. I guarantee that as you stand on the Word of God and let it be tested. You know, I love providing resource for the body of Christ, because as God gives us revelation of the Word, it then gets tested against demonic resistance, circumstance resistance, and if it's truly of God, it's going to stand through all of it, and it's going to bring forth fruit. And so all the teaching that God's given us, it's gone through the fire, and then once we can give it to you, either in a book form or a CD form, it becomes impartable to you. That truth becomes impartable, so that you don't always have to go through the same testings. You just get the impartation impartation, and that my ceiling becomes your floor, and I love that. But it really matters to me right now that the body of Christ prospers in the Lord. It says in the Bible that we are to prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers. So at this time when everything's being shaken around us, we can prosper in the things of God because we're kingdom children. It doesn't matter what's going on out there in the world. It's what's going on. What's an eternal reality inside of our own heart? What's real inside of our own heart? So I just want to encourage you to live kingdom in this hour. Now, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 is a scripture that I have been in since I was a brand new Christian. In fact, the first few days of being a Christian, I got my first two Rhema words from God. One was Isaiah 60 and the other was Isaiah 61. And I've lived inside of those words for a long time. I think it's 33 years at the time of this broadcast. But it says in Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come. It doesn't say that we have to beg for our light to come. The light's already there. All we have to do is arise and shine. Well, there's no better time to arise and shine than in the midst of darkness. We're in a dark day, and God wants us to arise and shine. And it says, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The word glory includes the fullness of all God is and all that he has. This word glory is kabod. It talks about the weight of God's goodness, the fullness of him, who he is. It's amazing. The glory is amazing. And of course, we can't taste of the fullness of God's glory all in one swallow. In fact, it'll take us all eternity to unpack the full revelation and the dynamics of the glory of God. But he reveals certain dimensions of his glory to us at specific times. One of the definitions of glory, or the word kabod in the Hebrew, is riches and abundance. Riches and abundance. And in the context of Isaiah 60, and you'll have to read this maybe, you know, before you go to bed tonight or whatever, read the whole chapter in context, because in the context, it's talking about natural riches, natural wealth coming to the people of God. That's the glory that it's talking about. Same with Haggai chapter 2, when it talks about the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. It's actually in the context of gold and silver. It's in the context of riches and abundance. So I want you to know that. And don't be afraid of that, because heaven's full of riches and abundance. Oftentimes, you know, Christians are afraid to talk about riches or prosperity or wealth because they think it's evil or something. No, it's holy. It's lust for things and greed for things and the love of money. That's evil, because that's part of the world system. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a pure delight in what God gives. Now, it says, for behold, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory, or his riches and abundance, will appear upon you. There's going to be a natural abundance, or a manifestation of abundance, that's coming on the people of God. And if you want it to come upon you, say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Let it land on me. Because he's looking for landing strips for this level of glory. And then it says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. You know, wealth attracts wealth, and poverty attracts poverty. When the church comes into this level of glory, nations and kings are going to come to the brightness of our rising. I'll show you some more keys in the second half of this program, and I'll show you evidence in the Bible where this has actually happened. But today, God is looking for you. He's looking for those who'll be hungry to manifest his glory, to deposit great wealth into for the sake of meeting the needs of the poor and expanding his righteousness to the nations and his glory to the nations. And when that spirit of wealth comes, when that glory, when the riches and abundance comes, then kings and nations will be attracted to the brightness of that rising. I don't see many kings knocking the doors of the church down, trying to get in saying, oh, I want what you have. I want what you have. I don't see tons of heathen nations knocking, hey, let us in, let us in. We got to have what you have. And there's a reason for that. Maybe we're just not manifesting the fullness of what God has for us yet. Now, we're going to take a break in a moment, but I want you to see something here. It says that we lift up our eyes round about and see they gather together, they come to you. And it talks about the abundance of the sea being turned to us, and the wealth of the nations will come to us. A multitude of camels will cover us. We probably don't need camels in this hour. That was the mode of transportation in that day, but maybe the Lord means cars and buses and vehicles, maybe even airplanes will come to us. Multitudes of camels, young camels, and those from Sheba. I want you to remember that word Sheba before we go on this break. It says they'll bring gold. Everyone say gold. And frankincense, and they'll bear the good news of the praises of the Lord. They'll bring flocks, which is a commodity. And then down in verse 9, there's silver and their gold with them, attached to the name of the Lord our God. It says in verse 11, the gates, your gates, will be open continually so that they can bring the wealth of the nations. They'll be led in procession with the wealth of nations. This is for God's covenant people. In verse 17, it says, instead of bronze, I'll bring you gold. This is an upgrade that God wants to bring his people. Instead of iron, I'll bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. And I'll make peace your administrators and righteousness your overseers. It goes on and on and on, talking about the goodness of God that he wants to bring to the people of God. I want you to live in kingdom economy. I want you to have your economic breakthrough. We did a teaching, Kim Hathaway and I, interceding for your personal economic breakthrough. And we did that right when the recession kind of opened up and people were living in fear. And I said, no, we don't have to live in fear. We can all have an economic breakthrough if we will live kingdom. I tell you, this is our greatest hour. We can't afford to live in the systems of this world. We have to learn how to live supernaturally in the glory of God. Because as we do that glory, where all of our needs are met according to his riches in the glory, as we learn to live in that glory will appear upon us. The wealth, the riches, the abundance of nations will come. And then there'll be a great and a mighty harvest. I'm going to talk more about that in the next part of our program.
Anointed you.
Well, welcome back. I'm excited about this whole subject, you can probably tell. But I'm carrying this massive prophetic word for the body right now about where God's going to take those who are ready into this great place of outpouring of abundance. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10. And I'm just going to start reading right in verse 1. It says, "Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon," I don't know if you remember or not, but in Isaiah it mentions that those from Sheba would come bearing gifts. And it says, "The queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue with camels, carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones." Doesn't that sound like what Isaiah prophesied concerning the covenant people of God in the last days? When the earth came into darkness and gross darkness of peoples, that he said that this kind of glory was going to rise upon the people of God, and that gold and silver and camels and spices and all of that would be brought by the kings and the nations. Well, this is what happened here. You know, it says in Revelation 1, verse 6, that we are kings and priests unto God. So you are a king. Jesus is your, he's the king of kings, so he's ultimately your king. But we're all kings in him. We're little kings, and we're to be taking authority in the earth in his name and for his glory. And so even as Solomon was a king, crowned as king by his father, Father David, we have been crowned as kings by our Father in heaven in the name of Jesus. So what happened here is that Solomon got so blessed. He went before the Lord, and in a dream, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Ask whatever you want. You can ask whatever you want." And he said, "I want wisdom." He asked for wisdom in the dream. And the Lord commended him. He says, "Well, because you've not asked for riches, but you've asked for wisdom, you're going to get wisdom, but you're going to get riches too." And that's because in wisdom's left hand is riches and honor. Now, if you get wisdom, the Bible says it's a principal thing, you get everything else you need as well. And so it says in wisdom's left hand are riches. So even when you don't ask for riches, if you ask for wisdom, you get riches. It's just the way it works. It says riches and honor are in wisdom's left hand. Now that word honor is doxa. It's the same word that's used in Isaiah 60 when it talks about the glory. So it says in wisdom's left hand is riches and glory, or riches and riches in abundance. So it's a double whammy on the riches. I just want you to get that, because even though we don't serve riches, we're not in love with money or anything like that, but God wants us to see something, because he's about ready to do a switch where there's a transference of wealth from the heathen into the just. And we're going to see that. Do you know that a lot of the world's industries, such as the sex trade and drug industry and just perverted things like that, are lining their pockets with billions worldwide every single year with this evil that they're doing? And so there's a control of the world's economy through what's evil. Well, God wants to turn that, and he wants to put the money in the hands of the righteous. And when you have wealth, you have influence. And this is what Solomon had. Solomon asked for wisdom, and he got it, but he also got great wealth. He had great wisdom and great wealth, and became famous in the Lord and amongst the nations for the wealth and the riches that he was endowed with. And so here we see that the queen of Sheba, she came to test him, and she came with all these gifts. She came with this large retinue of camels, and she was carrying spices and gold and all that. You know, Solomon didn't need any more camels, and he didn't need any more gold. He had enough. But you see, the spirit of wealth, once you have it, it just attracts wealth. That's why those that are rich hardly ever pay for anything, because it's just a spiritual principle, you know, like you attract that like spirit. So this is what happened. She came, just like Isaiah prophesied, it's going to happen in our day. She, as a heathen queen, came to bless Solomon and to test him. And so she asked him all these questions, and it said in verse 4, that after she asked the question, she said she perceived all the wisdom of Solomon. So now we've got this heathen queen perceiving the wisdom of God in Solomon. And then it says she perceived the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, and there was no more spirit in her. She was so overwhelmed at the wealth of Solomon, at how big and glorious his house was, at how great his servants were dressed, at the food of his table, all these things. She was amazed. Now, a lot of times Christians think that if we are going to be holy, we can't have anything. And that's not biblical. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, because the rich young ruler wanted to know how to live in the kingdom, and he said, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor so that you have treasure in heaven and come follow me. Now, he wasn't telling the rich young ruler to be poor. He was saying, just sell everything you have and give it to the poor so that you'll have treasure in heaven. That's because once you invest into heaven, you can draw on that account. You live by faith, but you draw on that account because heaven's interest rate is remarkable. 30, 60, 100-fold, and even up to 1,000-fold return. Jesus wasn't telling the rich young ruler to give up everything to the poor so that he would be poor. He was saying, give it all to the poor so that you can have even more abundance, and then follow me, he said, so that you will know how to walk in kingdom life and execute all your riches for kingdom glory and righteousness. So it's not a glorious thing. I know that someone said to me recently, they said, well, I just thought that we were supposed to be poor because Jesus was poor. Nowhere in the Bible will you see that Jesus was poor. It doesn't say that. It says he became poor so that he would take our poverty and give us his riches. But nowhere in the Bible does it say he was poor. I says, where do you see that? And she said, well, I think it was because I see that he only had one coat. I said, where does it say that? It doesn't say that. In fact, he had so much finance to steward, he needed a treasurer. Wasn't a very good treasurer, but he had to have a treasurer to steward all that was given to him. And so I think that there's some misconceptions. The love of money and greed and the love for mammon and the world system, lust for it, that's a different thing. That's part of the world. That's part of the flesh. I'm talking about true kingdom wealth that the scripture alludes to that God wants to give us now. So she noticed that Solomon had all these riches, but he also cared for the poor. So you can have both. The more we care for the poor, the more God blesses us personally. Then we care for the poor more, and we invest money into kingdom advancement more than we ever have in our life. And yet we have more than we've ever had. And we've given more away than we ever have. The amount that you give away just makes room for you to receive more. It's just the way it goes in the kingdom of God. But when she saw all that Solomon had, all that he had, there was no spirit left in her. There was no life left in her. She was like, she was down under the power of God. She went down under the power of the Spirit. And that's because of the weight of the glory of wealth that was there. Now then she said, I didn't even believe the reports until I saw it with my own eyes. And she said, you exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. And then this is the part that I love the most in verse 9. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. That's what it's all about. God wants to bless you with kingdom, prosperity, and blessing so that you can go and bless the nations with the name of the King, with the glory of the King. Get a hold of him now. Get a hold of this kingdom, vibrant economy, and live it inside yourself for the glory of God. Bring fame to his name and bless the nations. You know, the world's waiting for us to arise and shine because our light has come. The world is waiting to see the glory that'll transform nations. When we're over in Thailand or down in the streets of Phoenix and we see people bound by the sex trade and things like that, we just know that it's the funding that we receive that can help them get out of it that really helps destroy the unrighteousness that's out there. That's why God wants to bless you. He's looking for caring hearts and pure hearts, hearts that won't love money or the world system, people who will live by kingdom economy and have their own economic breakthrough into this glory realm so that we can go and transform nations. You know, we believe God for like one time $100,000 to build an orphanage. And as we believed for it, we got it. And I said, Lord, but it's not enough. We need more. So then we believed for another $100,000 to help another ministry overseas build a house where they could bring prostitutes in off the streets and rehabilitate them. But I said, Lord, it's still not enough. We need more. We could use billions to transform the nations. And it's like God's power and his glory working in the people of God can give a transference of wealth, but we have to put our faith out for it. Not for selfish motivation, I just want to repeat that again, but for his glory. And he deserves it. He wants us to arise and shine because our light has come. You know, the Queen of Sheba was so excited about what happened to Solomon that she even gave him more gifts. She brought him more gold, more shiploads full of spices and wood and special things, just shiploads full of it. And then it says, in return, Solomon was touched by her sacrifice and her giving. And so he gave her back the desires of her heart, plus according to his bounty. And that's what kind of exchange happens in the kingdom when we are involved in kingdom economy. And I believe that your King, Jesus Christ, because of your sacrifice of love for him, because you're willing to lay your life down to see this world filled with his glory, that he is looking to bless you beyond measure. And that you can arise and shine because your light has come. And you'll see the nations and kings come to the brightness of your rising because you are going to release righteousness and justice to the nations. They're waiting for you. We need to arise. We're putting our faith out as a ministry for more and more all the time so that we can do more and more for him and for his glory. Why don't you take hold of this mandate now? Because he is looking for people to bless. God loves you with an everlasting love. We'll see you next time.
I believe
that you died on the cross.
You died on the cross.
For my sin.
For my sin.
I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Right now.
Right now.
And become my personal Savior.
And become my personal Savior.
And my personal Lord.
My personal Lord.
And write my name.
Write my name.
In your book of life.
In your book of life.
In heaven.
In heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
That is so awesome.
I feel great. I don't think I've ever felt this happy in my entire life.